that's what it made me think of. I'm not saying you're a bad father. It just made me chuckle. That's all.
No, no, absolutely no. It's my oldest daughter. She ended up getting a full scholarship to the University of Utah.
Man, good for her. And, that's cool.
Yeah, no, it's great for my budget too.
Yeah,
but and she ended up moving out once we got back from Knoxville for the Glengarry Games.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been on her own now for, you know, about a month and a half, maybe 2 months.
Mm.
And she's slowly figuring out what adulting is,
yeah.
You know? So, but yeah, no, it's been great to kind of have like a little room of, you know, all the bagpipe things and whatnot. So.
Oh, that's very cool. Have you taken, cause like when I've seen you at Scottish festivals here locally, you've had your entire family there with you. Are they always with you? Is that the way it's always
They're
been?
Always with me.
That's awesome.
They're always with me. Yeah. With the exceptions of like Pleasanton that just happened, like my wife didn't get off work, so I went solo, and it was good, and you know, but for the most part, like any of those out of state, out of country games or competitions, they always come with me.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome. You mentioned being your
own super supportive.
That's beautiful. You mentioned being your own boss, and I saw somewhere, what was it? Was it on social media or part of your email address?
Probably.
Or something about asking me about hair. What is it you do?
So I own a salon and spa here in Utah.
Mm.
And I mean, I've been in the hair industry and the beauty industry for 25 years now.
Mm.
So basically what I do is I work my job to play the bagpipes, you know.
I hear you there. Yes, that's so relatable. Yeah,
I think I heard that said by Carrie Ann one of your on one episode,
yep.
And I was like, oh my god, that is totally me.
How relatable, so, right? Yeah, that's right. That was Carrie Ann. That was a fun chat. You know what? Something funny about like, and I mean, obviously, it deserves to have been popular. That's fine because it was a fun chat, and Carrie Ann is awesome. But, you know, there've been a few like celebrity recording artists on the show, and some funny hiccup of the algorithm or something, Carrie Ann's interview has been picked up by I don't know, more For You feeds and stuff like that than anything else that this show's ever done. And so like that one, you know, on paper at least has like thousands of downloads, where most of these, you know, hit a couple hundred. And so it's
Oh, that's crazy.
She's the main droning on celebrity at this point. Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
I love Carrie Ann.
Yeah. What a cool person. She's off, kind of creating a new bagpipe space for herself, geographically where she's at now.
I think so too.
I bet Wasatch and District is missing her. She was she a band manager for a long time?
You know, I joined Wasatch, last year.
Oh, I see.
Or last season.
That would have been after her time.
So I'm kind of newer to the game, but you know, I know she's a travel in, and she you know, knows the music, and she comes out and she plays and she does a great job, and gives her insights on things, and she's awesome.
Yeah. Well, no, enough about her. We got to talk about you. This is the Mikey Beal episode.
Let's do it.
So how did you like you? So you very recently joined Wasatch. But what happened before that? Like, surely, are you brand new to bagpipes? Surely not, right? Like,
No. I was kind of forced into it as like an 8-year-old. I grew up in a military household, a military-like household. My mom was career military, and my dad, well, you know, truck driver. So, I kind of got, you know, thrown this set of really cheap Rosewood Channer, you know, it wasn't even the Green Book. It was, I can't remember what the book looked like, but I know it was a really crappy.
We got to figure out what's the downgrade color.
I think every bagpiper got that.
Yeah. Like what's the color that comes before green? That's not as good as green. You got the yellow book, you know?
Yes. And then, you know, I was like, oh, okay, well, this is kind of fun. And I had been like running circles, cause I grew up in the South. So Arkansas, Texas, Louisiana, kind of bounced between those three states. And there were Irish sessions, so jam sessions at these local, you know, oyster bars and stuff. And I, you know, picked up the penny whistle and, you know, played with, you know, a bunch of people and brought my practice chanter, which was not in key with anybody there.
Of course.
Yeah. I got a set of small pipes first and started playing with that and figured out that it was not in key with anybody else.
Were you young enough, though? Like you were cute, and so they were like, "Ah, it's fine, kid. Go ahead and play along." Or were you like a real?
Basically,
gotcha. Yeah, but you got your small pipes. I mean, sorry, not to interrupt. Sorry, carry on.
No, you're So my the small pipes, you know, they were a cheap set as well. You know, I've had those, my God, 30 years. So, they just kind of sit in a box.
You keep them for the sentimentality of it.
Basically.
Yeah. You don't have your like rosewood chanter still, do you?
No. I think that became like firewood.
Yeah. That's one thing that I think a lot of us have had that experience, that's where it started. And I think a lot of us years later, maybe it would be fun to have that, but very few of us still have that chanter. You know what I mean? Like I also start on one of those, and who knows what happened to it. I sure don't have it.
Yeah. Then, you know, it's like later on, probably I was about 13, 14. I started taking it a little bit more serious, and, my mom ended up buying me a set of, nail pipes.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Just the basic set, and, ended up, starting, lessons with, I don't even know if he's still around or even still alive, but, Will Muirhead, from like the old, you know, Muirhead days, the Muirhead and Sons. And we didn't have the internet back then, so it was all in person. And this was up at in Batesville, Arkansas, at Lyon College. So I would drive. My mom would drive me down every week. I would take that 2-hour drive.
Wow.
Practice the chanter. You know, there was dedication there, and you know, I started, you know, marching with the band and competing with the band, and then around 15 years old, like serious life changes happened. And I ended up like kind of moving out on my own. And
wow, that's so young. Jeez.
Basically. Yeah. Yeah. So, then the pipes kind of sat there, and, I was in Houston at the time, and, stumbled across, you know, St. Thomas. And I was kind of in and out of there. I had, Michael Cusack as an instructor one or two times. But most of the time it's been, you know, me learning it. And solo gigs in my teens was fun. You know, I didn't do any like major band stuff. It was mostly solos. And I got up to grade 3 in the 90s, and then 2000 happened and I stopped playing.
That was the Y2K. So,
the Y2K version of
your bagpipe stopped working all of a sudden. You didn't set the clocks ahead, darn it.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of sat in the box, and I'd pull them out every once in a while, and you know, fiddle fart around with them. But you know, it wasn't a serious thing until about 2.5 years ago.
That was, but that was so much. There's so much time and money going into this when you were so young. Were your parents into bagpiping already, or were you just begging for it? Like, how? Like, I don't know. I'm just thinking to myself, like, well, geez, I'm a terrible parent. My kids asked to do things, and I'm like, well, is there someone who teaches it here in town? Then okay, but if not, well, I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, when you are kind of bouncing back and forth between parents, you know, because my parents were divorced, you know, one is, you know, a truck driver, and the other one's military career, and you know, you're changing schools every year, and you know, there's just a lot of different things happening. I think for my mom's sake, she just had to keep me busy.
Ah, yeah,
you know.
Get this kid to do something. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. Yeah. Be productive and not in trouble.
Yeah. Keep his hands busy on the practice chanter. Yeah. I see. Yeah, no, not to pride or anything like that, but I not having had the experience myself, but being close to some people who've had the experience, I have heard some people express like this reflection, you know, post-childhood, that in the event of the divorce, there might have even been some degree of like parental competition to like give the kid what they want, you know, like make you feel like you're,
you know, really... I don't think I really got any of that.
Darn it. Like that would have been, that's like the silver lining, right? That's like, that's supposed to be
right.
What you get.
No, that'd be great, you know, to have like, you know, parents like fighting over, you know, oh, I got him a toy car.
Right.
Oh, yeah,
I'll show you how much I love
truck.
You. Yeah.
I bought him bagpipes. Well, I bought him his first car.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so no, it was never like that. Like all I can remember is, you know, it was a lot of fending for myself and, you know, but it made me who I am today, and I'm grateful for it. So,
well, you seem like a delightful person, if I may say so.
I try to be.
Whatever it takes. I mean,
I try to be.
As long as I'm prying too much anyway, Mikey, I'm probably being overly simplistic in my thinking with this. So it's probably on me, really. But I'm just saying, a dude whose career hair, having parents who are military and truck driver, it sounds kind of like a Disney movie, you know, like I'm going to do what I'm going to follow my own path, you know?
It was not in the cards for them at all.
I'd imagine,
you know, like I was on, I went through the whole military recruiting thing in 2001.
Mm.
My mom had, you know, introduced me to, you know, a bunch of Marine recruiters, and they said, okay, well, we can sign you up for your 17th birthday. And we can get you, you know, at boot camp,
mm-hmm.
then with parental consent, yada, yada, yada. And I was like, okay, yeah, that sounds fun. And then, August 2001 happens and my mom says, no, you're not going.
Hmm.
And then it wasn't until like years later where I was like, oh, wait a minute. September 11th, 2001 was that major event. And my mom pulled me a month before that. I wonder what she knew, you know? So all these like conspiracy theories happened, you know, but, you know, my dad was like super deep South Texan conservative, and he did not like that I was a hairdresser, but
yeah, like I'm sure all kinds of people like do drive trucks. So I'm not trying to cast aspersions. It just doesn't.
No, it's not
a pairing that usually goes together. That's all.
No. I mean, honestly, like what happened is like when I was about 13, I got my first job working under the getting paid under the table.
Because you're that young.
Got the zoomies this morning.
Mm.
I was getting paid under the table working at a veterinary clinic as like a kennel technician, like cleaning kennels and letting the dogs out and playing with the dogs and whatnot. And
it sounds like you got the best and the worst of what needs to be done in the veterinary's office.
for sure. And I always caught myself like watching like the groomers, like groom dogs.
Oh.
And one of the groomers was like, oh, you want to learn how to do this? And I was like, ah, sure, why not? You know, I've always been like let me try it. You know, see if I like it type of person. And then I kind of got, it just kind of rolled with, you know, grooming dogs. And by the time I was about 17, I was like, you know what? I can't, I'm tired of getting bit. So let's figure out something. Cause I loved the cutting hair aspect.
Far
like,
fewer humans bite you.
Yeah. So far I haven't had one human bite me.
All right.
Other than my own kids.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
But I bite back, so
there you go.
So I ended up finding like the hairdresser that I was seeing at the time here in Salt Lake was looking for an apprentice, and I, you know, said, "Oh, hey, you know, I would love to do that." And I did an apprenticeship, and that was in 2002.
Mm.
So, yeah, I mean, then I met my wife, and we're still together, and two awesome kids, and two very talented, awesome kids.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm here. That's my story in a nutshell.
That's very cool. Did you do your wife's hair? Is that how you two met, or was that unrelated?
No, she was actually my boss.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was my boss, and at a doggy daycare that she managed.
Oh, I see.
And because I was one of their groomers, and one day came around and she's like, hey, you know, you want to go grab drinks or something? And I was like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I'm not old enough, but we can do that, you know? So, and then the next day she fired me, and, you know, because, you know, she has,
you gotta avoid that conflict of interest. Yeah.
And so I moved in the next day.
Rather than not pursue him, the right thing to do is fire him and keep it up.
Right. Right. So that's how we met. It's 2025, man. Mm-hmm. It's 23 years now.
Wow.
We've been together.
Yeah.
That's two awesome kids and a lot of stories.
Yeah. Congrats. That's really cool. That's a lot of fun origin stories all rolled into one right there, Mikey. That's cool.
For sure.
So in your very young independence and moving all over the place, did those nail bagpipes stick with you? Is that what you're still playing today?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wow. No, I actually, I'm not playing with the nails anymore, but yeah, they came along with me everywhere I went. It was like the first thing that I would load into the moving van, the last thing I would take off, or the first thing I put in, or the last thing I put in, and the first thing I took off.
Yeah, I got you.
And, you know, and they moved house to house with me and state to state, and Yeah.
So even
And
when you
then
weren't playing a lot, they were present. It's not like you
they were
ever,
present.
it doesn't sound like you were ever
They were
thinking like,
present.
I'm never playing bagpipes again. It sounds like you were always interested in.
No, I mean, you know, life events happen,
Yeah.
you know, and you have to kind of put things on the back burner of what you want to do
Unfortunately,
and what
yeah.
you want to pursue.
Yeah.
And, you know, the life kind of dealt me a, you know, you have to do this really early kind of card.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I had my first kid when I was 19,
Wow.
and she'll be 20 next week, which is wild to think that you have a 20-year-old. And then, you know, like I kind of put piping off for, you know, all those years, and then I stumbled across Wasatch, and I was like, oh my God, they're like right in the same neighborhood as me. Like I'm gonna go find out who the pipe major is and talk to them and talk to the band manager and see what I need to do to kind of, you know, get the ball swinging again.
Right, yeah.
So, I ended up talking to Tyler,
Yeah.
Johnson,
Yeah. Very cool
awesome
guy.
dude.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, man, these are the rehearsals. Just show up and, you know, do the, you know, the typical kind of like come check out the band before you want to join type of thing.
Right, sure.
And I found out that Ross makes pipes, and
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, like all I want to do now is like bagpipe. And then, you know, the bug got me.
Yeah.
It totally got me.
So did you
So
have you got a set of Ross's pipes now?
I do, and they
Nice.
are absolutely awesome.
I was trying to remember, we were talking at that tent this summer, and I was thinking, I feel like in my memory I can remember you holding a set of pipes that I was admiring, but I might be inventing that in my memory now.
Yeah, no. I actually sold my nail pipes to a gentleman on the East Coast, and he ended up kind of doing like a restorative kind of thing on them,
Yeah.
and donated them to like a piping school.
Oh, that's very cool.
So that was kind of awesome. And you know, before I sold them, I had to have a set. So I had Ross. We got together and we kind of brainstormed on what we wanted or what I wanted. And
Don't skimp on the details, Mikey. I think this is something that we
oh
all
my
want to
God,
hear about. Tell me
this.
what do you have? Yeah.
So the pipes are a lead wood,
Oh,
so all lead
that's the
wood.
heavy, hard stuff, right?
It's a little heavier, but it's not too heavy. But what makes it a little bit more heavy is that I have like brass ferrules and
Ooh.
you know, like there's a lot of brass. But what Ross did is like all these brass, they have coating on them, like a coating, a protective coating, so it
Yeah.
won't tarnish. I had Ross remove the coating and like roll the ornamental pieces down like the gravel driveway and beat it up with a hammer, so it
Very
kind of
cool.
gets that like antique look to it.
Right, yeah.
So I've had them for about 2 years now, and they're starting to have this like really cool patina on them.
Yeah.
And I have moose antler as well on there.
Oh,
So
I love the
they
look of
turned
antler.
out
That's so classy.
yeah they turned out friggin' awesome, and the patina is starting to have this like green kind of tinge to it, like on, you know, what you would see on like old brass you know,
I'm
furniture.
sure, yeah.
So it's starting to come around. It looks awesome.
It's cool that it's like an evolving thing too, that like you're watching your pipes
Oh yeah,
age. It's
no,
kind of
it's
very cool.
awesome. It's awesome.
What do you have you found a drone reed pairing with them that you really like?
You know, the Henderson harmonic bass
Sure.
with the oh my gosh, I can't even think. The two tenors are
Are they Easy Drone or is it something else?
balance tone.
Balance Tone, gotcha.
I have the balance tone tenors and a Henderson harmonic bass, and
Gotcha.
the pairing on them is like, I like my bass drone to be a little on the not growly, but it's kind of deep and rumbly, you
Yeah,
know.
yeah.
And then the tenors, I mean, it's a beautiful match, you know. Whatever Ross profiled those drones at, they sound fantastic.
Yeah.
And then the pipe chanter is a broadleaf solo reed, or with a traditional broadleaf pipe chanter, I think is what I got,
Gotcha.
with Chesney solo reeds. So
I know that I remember seeing Ross not too long ago play a set that included at least some leadwood, but I'm thinking, does he really like leadwood? Did he make his own set with leadwood? Because I feel like I've seen him. I don't know,
I
maybe
think
he.
he's made a couple of sets with Leadwood.
I was just gonna say, like, if he's only ever done one, then I remember seeing him play yours, but yeah, I was thinking maybe he's done a few with that wood.
Yeah, there's a recording of mine, but when I first got them, I kind of named them,
Oh yeah, what's that?
Calypso, the dirty pirate hooker. You know, because
so
I mean that's just
you...
what you can imagine. You know, like, you know, these bagpipes that have this like antique finish to them. You know, like, I don't know. It just kind of gave me that. You know, a name comes to you
and that,
sometimes.
And now
that's their name.
Your wife's like, what are you doing? Where are you going? What have you been up to? And be like,
playing with Calypso,
that's
honey.
Right.
Leave
yeah.
me alone.
Yep. Been with Calypso all day. That's awesome.
So,
is the piping right now, of course, things can change over time and all that, but right now, is it like, does Wasatch and competition have all of your attention, or do you find time?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, which band are you playing with right now? Is that grade three,
so
grade two?
So I'm kind of in this like transitioning from grade four to grade two.
Yeah.
So we start up rehearsals next week, and I have to do like a tryout with Ross to get into grade two.
Yeah.
But I'm feeling pretty confident.
Good.
You know.
Good. I mean, I heard you playing at Pete Rock.
I know all the music, and well, yeah. I wouldn't say I know all the music with first grade two. I'm about 97.6% there.
But 97.6% there has got to be like 150 tunes. Cause I remember when Mike Swan joined the grade two. There's so many tunes.
It's a ton. Like last year when I came on, I didn't kind of know where I was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, you know, it's been so long since I've like marched with the band and played with the band. I'm going to, you know, take this season to be with grade four, you know, just as a, you know, an easy transition.
Yeah.
And, you know, got back into it in grade four, knowing that I was going to go and push myself for grade two. So I had the beginning or the end of 2024. I was like, okay, I got to learn all the tunes for grade four and grade five, or all the tunes basically for Wasatch.
Yeah.
So I learned all the grade five stuff. I learned all the grade four stuff, and I learned most of the grade two stuff. So from the time of October until April, I think it was a number of like 58 performance tunes that I kind of memorized. So yeah, it was a lot.
I don't think I know that many tunes, period. That's wild.
Yeah, I mean, if you asked me to play, you know, name it by name, I was like, oh, I mean, I probably can't do that, you know.
Yeah,
but
hear the first few bars though and you could hop in.
Oh yeah, 100%. But it's you know, when it comes with age, it's bandwidth, man. That's what happened mid-season. I was like, man, I can't handle all this music all at once. I'm gonna have to like, and when I was talking to Justin Howland, and he kind of gave me this like, you know, big brother advice of like, okay, you know, when we're at this age, because we're the same age, it's bandwidth. Like, you cannot take on what you used to be able to take on when you were like 18, 19, 20.
Yeah, ain't that,
you know,
the truth?
Like, you got, you know, so many boxes inside your head that you can fill, you know.
And once they're full, that's it.
So, right. Yeah. And then you have to sort through them, you know, to have conversation.
That's a helpful way to put it. I find that reassuring, just because, I feel that all the time. It's like, why can't I do this?
Oh, man,
I used
rough.
To be able to do these things.
It's rough.
You know? Why can't I keep up?
I know.
Yeah. So when you met your wife, was that during a time when your bagpipes were quiet and therefore this was a surprise you sprung on her later, or was she aware
you
of
know,
it?
No, she was totally aware of it. I would busk downtown Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
In the wintertime.
Oh.
Okay. So I don't know if you've ever like played your pipes in like snowy weather outside for, you know, hours on end.
Yeah.
But your fingers don't move.
Your fingers don't move.
They don't move.
Eventually the pipes just decide to not make noise too. So that's a challenging situation.
Right. I mean, I wasn't really concerned about how they sounded. Yeah. I was concerned about what was being thrown in the pipe case, you know, because I needed to pay rent.
I hear you. Yeah.
But I would park myself up on, like Main Street, and I think it was like First South.
Yeah.
And it was the time where is the horse and carriage.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And, you know, before they kind of put an axe on that.
Yep.
And I would just sit out there in a kilt with like a hoodie on and a bunch of those hot hand warmers in the pocket of the hoodie. And I would pick up the pipes, play them for like 10 minutes and put them back down and warm my hands up, pick them back up, do it all over.
Look at that.
And I would pull in like $400 a night.
Yeah.
To be honest.
This is so fun, Mikey. I don't know exactly which years we would have coincided, but That's most of the busking that I've done in Salt Lake City has also been around the holidays, just because I figure that's when a lot of people are going to be there.
Oh, yeah.
I always went to the corner, approximately the corner of South and West Temple, on one side or the other of that intersection.
I tried to do it closer to the temple.
With the lights and everything, right? You get all those people
walking
around.
Right, and where all the carriages were kind of parked.
Exactly, yeah.
But I was always kicked out by temple security.
They must have not liked the look at
you. Can't bite. Yeah, I was like, well, I'm not from here. So.
I know that I was always dodging it. You know, like I would kind of play for a little while and then kind of go somewhere else. Just kind of thinking, if they've been hearing me, they might be closing in on me by now. You know, and then kind of get up and walk a few blocks. Yeah. So I think I just lucked out. But.
Right. No, it was. I think it was definitely one of those. We must have dodged each other.
Yeah, that's funny. We might have been playing on the same night at some point. That's fun.
Probably.
Did you?
Like, God, where does this guy keep coming from?
Right. Yeah. Just like cursing each other as we walk around. Like, this is my turf.
And he's fast, man. I was just on that block, and now he's here.
Did you like kind of is the word pandering? Did you pander to holiday tunes, like play the Christmas songs and stuff, or were you just playing whatever you wanted?
You know, honestly, like I would just repeat the mass band tunes.
Yeah, sometimes that's all you can do. Yeah.
Because that's all people want to hear, you know. Totally, with a little mix of Amazing Grace every once in a while. And Oh Danny Boy, you know. And I think I that's why I have like a disdain for, you know, mass band tunes and all the, you know, Oh Danny Boy and Amazing Grace.
Every time I hear it, I'm just like, oh, it puts you right back there.
Right. It's PTSD.
Makes you feel like you're about to get kicked out by temple security again.
yep.
Did you ever have the experience? I felt like this happened all the time, of having somebody like in between your sets, like you'll stop for a second, somebody be like, "Where are you from?" Because they want you to be from Scotland, and it's like,
right.
You either have to just Louisiana. Tell them like, "I live here," or you can at least say something other than Utah. I just grew up south of Salt Lake, you know. So it's like,
right.
So I often would just try to strike in and start playing again, pretend like I didn't hear him.
You know, I think that still happens to this day. Because I'll practice at the park here in Bountiful, and they're like, "Oh, where are you from?" And I'm like, "Well, here."
Yeah, or, not where you want know, me to be and from, I'll just, sorry.
Or I'll strike back up and be like, "Oh, I couldn't hear you, I had earplugs in."
Right, yeah. Yeah. Well, is busking still part of your life right now today, or is that something that's kind of
so many things have changed with like downtown Salt Lake. I think you need like a permit now to
I can attest to that
performance. I don't want to catch a charge.
I just end up just having to empty all your tips out.
Right. No, I don't busk anymore. I thought about it every once in a while. I'm like, you know what? That'd be fun again. But then I it starts getting late and I'm like, oh no, it's starting to get cold. The pipes are going to sound awful. Now I'm more concerned about the sound.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the sound, listening to things, and maybe this has changed over time, but, you know, from the beginning of your piping journey, maybe even inspiration to get you into it in the first place, all the way up to today. Have there been any recording artists, you know, bagpipers or musical groups that have been favorites of yours that, you know, if somebody asked you, where should I go to listen to bagpipes? What would you recommend? That kind of thing.
There is something recently, but I stumbled upon them about like 2.5 years ago when I started getting back into it. It's like a sound that I've never heard before. And it's that French pipe band. I can't even put the name on it, but they use the Bombard too.
Yeah. Is it one of the Bagad groups?
Bagad. Yeah. Like, I'm like, what is this?
Isn't that cool
so
stuff?
It kind of has that different sound to it, you know? But I think when it comes to like traditional pipe band stuff, St. Lawrence O'Toole, you know, that's always like a go-to. I love how they're able to, you know, get these classic tunes and put their own twist on them. Inverary and District, obviously in the Worlds this year, they absolutely slayed it with their medley.
Were they the ones that made Bob Worrell cry? Was that Inverary?
Yeah, that's
right. That was a cool set. That was amazing.
I think Stuart Little actually shed a tear on the in the circle after they got done playing, you know. I mean, it was absolutely gorgeous, you know, and they kind of set the standard now, and which is kind of scary because now we have to chase that standard.
Yeah, it keeps improving.
And it keeps growing.
Yeah.
They definitely keeps growing year by year. I mean, piping in the 90s versus piping now, completely different. Absolutely completely different. Even the pitch of the pipes is different.
I've wondered before if like I'm cautious about it, because I've never been like a really high tier competitive player myself. And so I don't think that there's ego in this, but I have wondered before when I've listened to older recordings of pipe bands and of soloists and stuff. And like, I'm like, oh, I don't think this is as good. But then I think to myself, well, I'm not even as good as this. You know, like I shouldn't be passing judgment or anything like that, you know, but yeah, of course it's getting better all the time. And it's not just like,
it totally is.
It's like finger work is improving, sure, but also like, I don't know, manufacturing the instruments, the reeds and everything, it seems like it must be constantly zeroing in, you know. Maybe it's only by decimals, but it's getting better and better and better, so that the overall sound
marginal for sure. It is definitely marginal, and year after year it just keeps getting better and better. You know, but the thing that never fails is the traditional music, you know. It's been there for God knows how long, you know. So it's like you can go from city to city and be like, okay, well, let's, you know, play, you know, this set, and there's at least one or two tunes that you know.
Yeah, that is a really cool part of the, like, sort of the community aspect of it, huh? We kind of all have this shared bank of tunes we can hop in on.
Yeah.
Now, Mikey, like, for sake of kind of getting to know you a little more too, if you had increased bandwidth, you know, like if you had suddenly you were independently wealthy, so you had more time on your hands, and let's say you were satisfied with how much piping you would do, like what's your next like follow up obsession or hobby? Like what's other stuff that calls to you?
You know, if I could bagpipe full time and make money at it, like a decent wage living, because there's very few people in the world that can do that.
Yeah.
You know, I would absolutely love to do that. Like I've even toyed around with the thought of doing like an online supply shop.
Oh, sure.
You know, I would, you know, just being an entrepreneur myself, like it's something that I could probably easily do, but you know, you have your big competitors out there that they've kind of zeroed in on like how it works and all that, you know? So, you know, starting something small and doing like meme culture stickers, you know, like,
yes, we got to talk about your fun. Culture.
We got to talk about that.
Yeah.
I got some NSF, stickers available for purchase at a discounted price, but I can share those files with you.
Yeah, do we
put like 18 enter?
Right. Yeah, we'll have a secret label on a secret corner of bagpipeswag.com for Mikey Beal's stuff.
when I was in Maxville, I had a couple of these T-shirts printed out, and I wore them up in Maxville.
I saw the pictures. Yeah.
And I sold like 30 shirts.
Oh, dude!
in total. So it's been kind of a fun little thing, you know. Like, oh my god, where'd you get that shirt? And I'm like, oh, here's the link. You can buy it.
I made it. You want one?
Because I drop ship it.
Yeah,
you know. So it's been fun. It's been fun.
I'll check in with you sometime.
It's an unexpected $30. You know,
that makes you feel good about like grabbing lunch that day or something, right?
Yeah. Or you know, going to the beer tent.
Yeah, even better,
you know, their dime.
Yeah, I'll check in with you sometime. I have been toying for years. I've been toying with the idea of getting like a vendor tent at some of the local games, and you know, one good way to make that doable is to combine forces. So if we have
definite collaborations,
like, we could have like the front counter with all the
behind the beaded curtains.
Exactly. Yeah, that's where all Mikey's stuff is. Oh, you're looking for the section in the back. Yeah,
right. That's totally up my alley.
That's excellent. Well, what about like just kind of sticking with the idea of kind of getting to know as much about Mikey as we can here? What about like consumption of media? Like, are you into any you know, are you a Star Trek guy or a Star Wars guy? Are you binging?
Oh my god!
You know, binging any shows right now? Loving any book series? What stuff like that?
So we all know what happened in 2020, right?
Yes.
The world gets shut down.
Oh, that, yes,
and, you
of
know,
course.
I don't know. I don't know if you remember that or not. So I got really bored and I was like, man, what am I going to do? You know what? What's going to sound really awesome is if I take Star Trek, but watch it in chronological order, timeline order.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm still on that journey.
Still working
friend.
On it, huh? Where are you
I'm
in the
still
journey?
working on it. I just got to the Enterprise.
Oh, gotcha. That's my
I mean,
that's my
it's
favorite
not one of those.
personally.
I mean, Jean-Luc Picard, man,
The best.
you
He's
gotta
my
go with
captain,
that.
yeah.
Yeah. But if you want something and you want to play the long game, highly recommend doing chronological order, timeline order.
Yeah, I
It's
got you.
pretty interesting. It's pretty interesting because you can just like turn it on in the background. You know what's happening already, you know. But yeah, no, that was my COVID obsession.
You know what I think about all the time is that early Star Trek movie. It might have been the first one that went out. Maybe it was the second, where Voyager returns, and it has learned everything basically, right? And they're trying to figure out. I think maybe I was the right age to have my mind blown when they're, because it's been V'ger all throughout the show, right? And then to realize like Voyager, and like I was just old enough to like know what the Voyager was, you know? So like it was like this huge, like mind-blowing reveal, and I think that's why it stuck with me. Like I might think about that at least weekly,
You know,
you know?
Strange New Worlds, I think, would be my second favorite. You know, because it's like the beginning of the story, you know, and like how it all began, and you know, so and it's pretty well done, I think. But yeah, I mean, that's my I'm not a Trekkie or anything, but yeah, that was my obsession during COVID.
I wonder how many Trekkies are listening right now and like, oh, he doesn't realize he's a Trekkie. He's obviously a
Oh yeah, I mean,
Trekkie.
I don't have the cosplay or anything, but you know, I do enjoy watching. It's fun stuff.
Yeah, very cool. And no, and like maybe there's nothing here, so like feel free to tell me that I'm barking up the wrong tree, but does your work in like the aesthetic arts, does that have any influence in your piping? Even if like I'm thinking very
You know
simply.
what?
Yeah, go ahead.
There, I don't think it's a bad question at all, honestly. Like I have been talking to a couple of bandmates about like medley selection and listening to the worlds for the first time in years, and like kind of seeing how this trend and nostalgia kind of coincide together. And then, you know, being me and kind of an overthinker and an obsessor of pipe music and fashion industry, I kind of look at it as these kind of two things kind of go side by side
Yeah,
together. Like
interesting, yeah.
trends in the beauty industry. If you want to know what's going to happen in the industry 4 years from now, look at Tokyo. If you want to
Interesting.
know what's happening 2 years from now, look at Italy. If you want to know what's going to happen next year, look at London. You know, like those are the things that you kind of have to kind of look at with pipe band too, and it's totally true,
Have you
right?
sort of
Because
sorted
that
out where
was
our centers of like where are the pioneers in piping? Is it always going to be Scotland first, or is that
no. I think the level, the caliber of musicianship is so much higher in Scotland. The caliber of musicianship is definitely higher on the East Coast. Us poor desert boys and gals, we kind of, I wouldn't say we get the short end of the stick, but you know, it's God, my dog is still going, Zoomy. I think that there is potential for more grade two and grade one bands in the US for sure. But I think as a community as a whole, we would definitely need to jump up our commitment levels more, you know, and that's not calling anybody out. That's, I mean, even myself,
No,
you
I think
know.
that's, yeah, that makes sense. Like, sometimes it's just the
But
way it is, you know. I hear you, yeah.
like these, some of these grade four bands in, you know, Ireland and Scotland, I mean, they could easily compete in a grade two, you know, here in like in Utah, you know, which is kind of terrifying. And they're all like 12 and 10.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? They're all kids.
That was the most humbling thing for me this year competing, is getting my butt kicked in competition by a 10-year-old.
Was that in solos?
Yeah, it was in solos. But I mean, this year I feel pretty good about my solos. Right now I'm number one in aggregate, so
Nice.
I'm pretty happy about it. I'm
Yeah,
gonna
way to
toot my
go,
own
man.
horn there. So yeah.
That's very cool.
Kind of feel bad because, you know, I have a lot of those years in practice, and some of these kids don't, but I had to get somewhere.
That's very cool. So the this is a left turn, but you mentioned your dog. You've got to have the most beautiful dogs. Is that am I guessing right?
He is a soft-coated Wheaton Terrier.
And I'm
He's
sure
an
you're taking
Irish breed.
good care of that Irish that soft coat, right?
I mean, he is kind of crunchy right now. Like, he needs a bath. But he's getting one. He's getting groomed this weekend for sure, because he stinks. But yeah, he's an awesome dog. He's kind of a rare breed. But yeah, he's like my you walk around Park City and you see those people with like their French poodles and stuff. He's my good credit dog, is what I like to call it.
Sure. I gotcha. Now, kind of in keeping with the idea of like fantasy land, let's imagine that money is no object and you can get whatever you want. Do you have any like bagpiping dreams, travel destinations, instruments you really want, courses you want to take from
You
big
know,
pipers? What would be your main thing?
I would love if I could have everything that I currently have now, right? Because I mean, ultimately, this is like the life that I've built is pretty decent. Like I'm not into like the big flashy houses and the cars and whatnot. Like, I'm happy with sharing a car with my wife sometimes and piping. If I could have it my way, I would stay in a little boffy, and if I had a time machine, I would live with Donald MacLeod as his like apprentice, right? And just kind of like, just to be, the fly on the wall in Donald MacLeod's world. I think that would have been freaking awesome. If that fantasy world exists.
You are allowed
When
to
are we
have a
going to get
time
a time
machine
machine
in
is the
this. Yeah,
question.
you're allowed. That's fine. Yeah. I'm imagining that Donald MacLeod's hair and beard would also suddenly be looking spectacular.
Yes, absolutely. See, there's trade-offs. Absolutely.
And what about when you go to play, Mikey, have you developed any sort of like pre-performance, we might say rituals, any like is there a checklist of things you work through before going out to play that might be kind of useful things for other pipers to think about?
Everybody's different, For me, it's being in the beauty industry and being a bagpiper. I don't think a lot of people realize that bagpipers and drummers and anybody that enjoys doing solos, they like to be the center of attention. We put on the kilt, we dress up, we get in front of crowds, we play the music. What are we doing that all for? It's to gain attention, right? And even those people that are like the shy, band geek kid, they're going to put on the garb and they're going to perform because they like the attention. Same thing with hairdressing, right? So I put in on a daily basis anywhere between an hour and a half to 2 hours daily on the pipes. And that is kind of my standard. And then if I have downtime at work, which I do almost every day, I'm on the practice chatter, So it's a constant thing in my day-to-day life. When it comes to performing for solos, is to relax. The music, you've practiced it over and over again. There's nothing to worry about, even though you're going to go up and you're getting judged by Bob Worrell or Richard Parks. You just have to think they're just a part of the audience. And the music. Don't pay any attention to the man behind the curtain. They're just
That's
human
interesting,
beings. They're listening to you. That's kind of the mindset that I try to put myself in. Like, I got an invitation to the Western Championship Invitational in Halloween weekend. And there are six of us in grade four that are competing. And the judges are Richard Parks, Bob Worrell, Bruce Gandy, Roddy MacLeod, all the big
Holy
names,
moly.
and I'm kind of like, I was reading the judges list, and I'm like, oh my God, babe, go get me a new Huggy.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Mikey,
So.
tell me if I'm way off base with this, but one thing that I've always thought was interesting about like the art of doing hair is that like if you were making a sculpture, like it's pretty solid. Like once you're done with it, it stays the way you left it. And if you make a painting, same kind of
Kind
thing,
of.
right?
Yeah.
At least kind of,
Yeah.
yeah. But hair is growing all the time, you know? And it's like, so like whether it's color or shape or like whatever you do with it, it's like aside from it growing and being constantly changing, also the canvas that you just worked on is going to walk out the door and you don't know what the person's going to do with that either. And so maybe I'm trying to force a connection here, but you know, a performance, you know, whether you got relaxed for it at the beginning or not, once that performance is done, it's kind of like this fleeting thing in a way. It's kind of like it's a thing you do. You build it, you make it, but it also like it's transitory, you know, it doesn't stay there forever. I don't know,
Right.
do you get in a similar headspace when you're doing hair? Like do you ever stress, like start stressing out, like, oh my gosh, if I mess this person's hair up, they're gonna be upset, you know, and then have to talk yourself into a
You
calm
know,
headspace? Does it feel similar?
the correlation again with piping and hairdressing is kind of like, as you're saying, like you're not trying to force a connection, but there definitely is. And it's one of those weird like things. Maybe it's like one-sided for me. It's something that I've realized, the connection between the two. And maybe it's just the similarities between, you know, something that you love to do on both sides, right? Like I
Sure.
love the career that I have as a hairdresser and a business owner. And piping is, you know, it's a hobby, but you know, it's a fun hobby. I enjoy it. My goal for people that sit in my chair, as you know, man, woman, I don't do kids much. Is for them to be happy as they when they walk out, right? I want them to be happier about themselves when they leave, you know, after they pay me and leave. You know, that's the key point is they pay me and
Right,
leave.
yes. Yeah.
And they keep coming back, right? So I kind of see it as I want the judges to be happy after I get done playing.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm putting on this performance for them. And I worked, I don't can't tell you how many hours on, you know, this 2-4 march. And I want them to be happy and say, you know what, this was the best one of the day. And you got first, you know,
Yeah.
or fifth or sixth or
Yeah.
19th, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, you could, you know, go against a 10-year-old and get your butt kicked, which I found out this year,
That does happen,
you
doesn't
know.
it? Yeah.
But I came back strong and I kicked his butt. So.
There you go. Physically in the parking lot afterward. Hey,
Yeah, I
kid.
mean, it was a full Sparta moment.
It's funny. Well, Mikey, I'm feeling like we're maybe kind of hitting that point where like it feels like we've got maybe a solid interview here, but I don't want to cut you short. If you have any, no pressure to have like words of wisdom to deliver. Honestly, I feel like you've already delivered a few pretty good chunks of wisdom. But limericks,
I don't know. It depends on how long the
funny
editing process
anecdotes.
is going to take for you.
Yeah, that's right. Well,
Funny anecdotes.
anything, man. Yeah, give me
Man.
something anything that comes to mind to kind of give us a finishing note for this interview.
Okay. So this is kind of out of left field here. Okay. But this is something that I've lived by ever since I was, you know, probably 15 when I got out on my own and started doing things. It's, you know, the number one rule in my house, and it works for all age groups, all walks of life, no matter who you are, gender, whatever, doesn't matter. And the phrase is, if it's wet and it's not yours, don't touch
And we fade to black, man. That's perfect.
You can keep that in, you can keep that out, or you can just like
Oh,
whatever. I don't
Mikey,
care.
I'm